B-Pod Studios.
This is why you do the show. You take chances, you give takes. Sometimes they blow up in your face. You look like a complete idiot. We've all been there.
The pie in your face.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hello again, friends. So, Adi, T-Bone, how you doing?
How you doing?
Everybody.
Remember when I told you it was Monday? Remember Monday I said I wish it was Wednesday?
There you are.
We're here. Bang.
Wait, do I remember on Monday you said what about Wednesday?
I was bitching about Monday.
He was hating on Monday.
I wish it was Wednesday. You start getting excited.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Brad Stevens at 10:20 this morning.
Right out the gate.
Early today. Adjusting the schedule.
Yeah, we did. We said, hey, we can only do you at 10:20. Make it work.
That's not at all how it happened, can imagine.
Make it work there, masshole. I can't wait to get into the Massachusetts stuff with him. That's going to be fun. Whew. Not right out of the gate. We'll get in the basket.
Well, he's got a lunch schedule.
It's a big week.
Yeah. He's got a lunch scheduled at Durgan Park, so he's got
a beef. You get there with a potato, you get a side of potato, you get a salad.
Yeah.
Yes. That family style seating, you can't beat it. You got the old ladies serving you. Hey, how are you? Would you like the prime rib?
So he's got to make
sure
he
does
the interview early today. Get it out of the way early.
Big prime rib.
I'm meeting somebody up at Nick's for roast beef on the North Shore at 11. I'll talk to you in the car on the way up.
So, we'll do that coming up. But it sounds like things are all going to hell with that team. Really does. It doesn't sound good over there. It sounds like there is turmoil in the locker room.
Sounds like you got a split locker room, which is unusual for that team because they're all sort of the same to me. You know what I mean? It's not like you look at it and say, okay, you have these three bona fide mega superstars, and then everybody else is sort of the blenders, and you follow them around. I don't know. Is there an entitlement there? You know, I know you have to spread out for COVID. You hear the reports that you sort of got a separate locker room, which hurts your ability to create chemistry and come together as a team where the veterans on one side, young kids are on the other. So it creates that. Now, football teams do that early in camp because of numbers, but we have...
Let's get to this. Yeah. This is where you're pulling this from when you say it sounds like...
Gary Washburn.
Well, right? No, not Gary Washburn.
Well, he was on with Mass,
too.
Yeah,
that's not what you're pulling from, though. You're pulling from this. Chris Vernon on the Mismatch podcast talking about the issues inside the locker room and the chemistry problems. It relates to Smart. It relates to Tristan Thompson. Here it is.
Oh, this,
The level of, and I'm going to make up a word, outness on Tristan Thompson is unbelievable. They've got to get rid of him.
What do you mean by that? What made you feel that?
I feel like that has been a disaster. He is resented.
Is it something you heard? He's resented.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, he's in the safety protocols again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like nothing gets reported on this. From what I was told, he won't stop going out.
I see.
So he just goes out.
Here's what I've heard, and it definitely aligns with what you're saying here, that with the COVID protocols, some NBA locker rooms are big enough to accommodate an entire team. The Celtics locker room at home is split into two. You have the veteran players in the main locker room, a lot of the younger players in the makeshift locker room to meet the COVID protocols. And there's like a literal divide. Like a literal distance divide. But also like that has kind of created a lack of chemistry.
Yep.
And that there's sort of like the two sides of the Celtics team where there's not a lot of camaraderie that you're talking about. There's not a lot of that togetherness that you love to have for a team. So just as a natural result of the COVID protocols, the Celtics locker room has sort of been split. And yes, I have also heard that Thompson is not loved in that locker room for numerous different reasons.
And that voice you hear last is Kevin O'Connor, friend of the show, reports for The Ringer. Kevin O'Connor, I have heard that Tristan Thompson is not loved in that locker room for numerous reasons. Reports on the fact that he keeps going out.
He's
a problem in that he keeps going out, and they're aggravated with him for that.
Where does he go? Where do you go at night? What's open?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Maybe he's just going to a different restaurant and sitting at a different bar every night.
Well, how about
this?
How about being on a road? Maybe he's breaking protocol on the road, and we're not hearing about that. Because you're supposed to like stay in your hotel. Brad bitches all the time about we barely go out for a walk. You know?
So Hoop Central on Twitter quoted Kevin O'Connor from the podcast and then tweeted it out. And then Jaylen Brown retweeted Hoop Central with the quote. And the quote was the one you just heard about Tristan Thompson. And Jaylen Brown put a blue hat emoji on the tweet with a retweet.
Which everyone knows what that means.
We all had to feel old and have no idea what that meant.
I knew what it meant.
No, you did not. You knew what it meant?
I knew what it meant. All right, we talked about it before, too.
Jamelli's still in here. Do you know what that meant? Okay, Jamelli didn't know either.
I didn't know what it meant.
He's younger than T-Bone,
I think. Not cool at all. So I'm like, what does this mean? It's got to have some sort of meaning. Leave it to the kids to know right away. Leave it to T-Bone, your child, to know right away that the baseball cap means cap, which is slang for lies. So this is him shooting down that report. Jaylen Brown on Twitter shooting down that report. So Marcus Smart hears his name in trade rumors, doesn't like it. I mean, nobody likes that. That's not saying anything bad. It just sort of speaks to guys' mindset right now. He can't be thrilled. I mean, that happens to all players that hear their name.
Didn't it bug Ray Allen?
Yeah, sure. It bugs a lot of players. Yes, that's not unusual.
That's your mind. When you have family and your roots are here and you like the place you play, and
right,
you give everything you have like he does, I can understand him being upset by it and bothered. Absolutely. You're like, well, what the hell? What do I give myself for?
Right. You've got Tristan Thompson, who is apparently not well-liked despite Jaylen Brown, saying that's not true. The reporting is that Tristan Thompson keeps going out, breaking protocol, ending back up in COVID protocol, and that has made some other players for numerous different reasons not like Tristan Thompson. So there's that. There's the physical divide in the locker room where guys have been unable to create chemistry due to some protocols.
Nothing you can do about that.
And then there was Gary Washburn on with Maz yesterday talking about the Celtics and where they're at. Let's get you up to date on this part of it.
How would you describe overall the relationship between Stevens, Brown, and Tatum, specifically the coach with each of those players? I'm not worried about...
I think it's respectful, okay? I think it's respectful. I think it's solid. I don't think it's particularly super close. I think that they both probably have ways that they would do some things different, but I do think it's respectful. Okay, that's the best I can do. I'm not saying that Jason and Jaylen don't like the coach, but I think that Brad has always stayed out of team issues. He's let the roster police itself. So I don't know how close he has become. Obviously, he wasn't that close to Gordon as we saw at the end. I think the relationship is respectful. They think he's a good coach, but that's as far as I'll go.
So we got a Brady Belichick.
Oh boy.
See, the problem is Brady and Belichick won 6 together.
It's respectful. Okay.
What have they won to entitle themselves to act the way they act towards this coach? Now, the coach hasn't won either. But
well, you just said they were respectful.
Yeah.
What do you mean act?
Yeah, Bill and Brady were respectful of each other. They respected how each other competed. They like to do things maybe a little differently if they had their choice, but I respect him.
What do you say when you have to work for someone but you don't really like them all that much?
Love.
I respect him because he's the boss love. And I'm the employee. You know, I mean, it's one of those.
Wears work boots.
Right. We keep
the John Hanna jersey.
Keep it respectful.
I respect you guys.
Oh, shut up.
I'm not sure you do.
Yeah. No.
We'll get to you.
No
later.
Cap.
It just doesn't sound like things are great there.
We will get to you later in the show, Tom.
How so?
Tom grew up a little bit today.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Not that big of a deal.
Yeah, pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. Tom got a new car.
You just couldn't. You
couldn't. Can't ride a bike anymore. I don't shine shoes no more. No tea, no bike. car. The man now. Paid cash. That's what I heard from my sources.
Let's break down in case Brad Stevens calls early, huh?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Brad Stevens, coach of the Celtics, will join us coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beef. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Celtics have the Bucks tonight. I also have the Bucks on Friday night.
And OKC. Man, they got a tough stretch here.
Yep. And then they have the Pelicans coming up on Monday. And we know how they went the last time those two teams met. That was not fun. So, yeah, I would call that a tough stretch. Sure.
Yeah. It's like the capper on top of what's already called for what it is, a critical week for them. A trade deadline tomorrow. Now, how much do you really believe that Marcus Smart is bugged, by the, reporting and commentary and the trade stuff? And I know there's, like we said, hey, it's human nature to be bugged by that. But once you get out there and you're playing, aren't you playing? Doesn't that kind of go away? Is that really going to change his shot?
I don't know. You know better than us.
Yeah, because I think.
You ever have your name in any trade rumors, though, as a play?
No, you just sweat getting cut. Different situation. Yeah. Dread seeing Bobby Greer standing in the hallway when you came in the building. Hey, coach wants to see you. Yeah. That's when you know it's over. Bring your playbook. Tannenbaum did it to me with the Jets. That's why I don't like Tannenbaum. Then they give it a sob story. Hey, like a son to me.
He didn't say that.
No, Bill did. And,
Bill said that.
Yeah. Yeah. Belichick?
No.
No. God, no. He would just cut you.
So, Parcells, the same guy that used to tell you that you couldn't hit a bull in the ass with a fistful of rice from 3 feet away, said you're like a son to him.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, just because he said that about Zoe didn't mean it wasn't true. I mean, tough love.
The guys he yelled at the most, the ones he liked. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
He always said that. When I ain't yelling at you, that's when you should be worried, honey.
And then he cut you and told you that you were like a son to him.
Yeah. That's a tough one on me because, you view like a son. Yeah.
Wow.
So then don't cut me.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Brad.
What's up, guys?
Coach, how you doing?
Good. Sitting in a hotel room in Milwaukee.
All right. There's a lot of reporting about your team, commentary, and I know it's fair to say a critical week for your team for many reasons with the trade deadline and the potential shakeup if Danny does make a move.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the week goes, but also it's a critical week for how we play, right? Like, it's important that we, from our standpoint, those of us that are here in Milwaukee, we're focused on the game tonight and how we played on Monday and how we can improve off of it. You know, it's obviously, been a challenging start in a lot of ways. It is good to know we're closer to full health again, and now our as we get closer to that, we just have to play well. And so that continues to be the focus. I thought we had a good game Sunday. I thought the guys that played Monday gave us great effort gave us a chance to win a game against a good team in Memphis, but came up a little short. So today will be a great challenge and looking forward to it.
You know, Jaylen Brown was on Twitter fighting back against some of the reporting and some of the commentary on the team. Do you think your team has any chemistry issues beyond what are normal issues in any given year for a team?
Oh, no. I don't even know what you're talking about. What was he fighting back on?
Well, it's been suggested that there are teammates that have not gotten along with Tristan Thompson, and that there's been a divide in the locker room, and Jalen has fought back against that, saying this is not true, that is not the case, and everything
good
is
fine. Good for Jalen. I agree with Jalen.
And I'm putting words in his mouth, but that was the gist of his tweet, that this is not true.
Last week I was going to Indiana, according to everybody, right?
Right.
So rumors sometimes are right and sometimes they're wrong. I'd say one of the things I've learned in this is about 90% of what I hear and or read, I would like to have a second look at, and maybe a fifth look at, and a tenth look at, and actually talk to somebody in there before I react to it. So, yeah, that stuff is – I don't know where that came from or whatever the case may be, but Tristan's been a good teammate, a good guy, like all that stuff. So that's disappointing to hear that something like that would be out there.
Well, the direct reporting on it was that Tristan has consistently gone out and gone outside of COVID protocol. Has that been true or not?
I don't know. First of all, I'm not a babysitter. Secondly, I would doubt it. I mean, we're on such lockdown. Like, it's very, very difficult, I'd say, to do that in this stage. And obviously there's NBA stuff that goes along with that and everything else. But, you know, again, I don't know where those thoughts come from. I don't think it's one of the things that's most challenging, I think, about this as we, you know, increase, obviously the increase of social media, obviously the increase of, like, you know, just the kind of the entertainment talk, I think, is the idea that, you know, if we hear a rumor, we just, we blow it up, we go with it. And to me, everything that's been said, I wouldn't know if he's gone out per se. I would guess not, but I do think like to say he's not a guy that everybody likes is wrong. It's just wrong. So, anyways, that's my two cents on that one.
Do you feel like there's more of this stuff this year because of the record or because of the struggles at times? It feels like there's more of this type of thing going on now than in your tenure at any other point.
Oh, no. I think it's every year. I mean, I even go back to my first year. There were plenty of things that are talked about. But I think it's also, again, you know, unless you're in the locker room every day, unless you're around the guys every day, unless you're a part of it, then you don't get a full feel for it. And you don't get a, you know, every team that I've ever been a part of, including, you know, those teams at Butler, they all have times where, you know, you have struggles and you fight through those things together. And sometimes it takes longer than others, but like chemistry wise and how much guys like each other and all that stuff on this team, this is nothing. Our deal is how well we've played, and there's been a lot of factors to that, but it has nothing to do with the quality of people.
Well, Jaylen Brown's direct retort to it was a blue cap emoji. Do you know what that means?
I don't.
Neither did we.
Yeah, we didn't know either.
I need to get in my emoji game better then. I don't know.
We had to figure it out.
Maybe I need to get back on Twitter. Well, maybe I shouldn't, actually.
I mean, no, if you're
never a good idea.
Nope, don't do that.
No,
you guys ever tried that, by the way?
What,
have
Twitter?
You ever tried to be off of that? Yeah, you probably have to for your job.
I go up and down.
He's always had his fair share of issues on there. So we've tried to.
I like to speak my mind, so to speak, and try to provide true commentary, and then I get in trouble for that. You know,
what? It is like. It does when you take it off your phone or whatever the case may be. It is, you know, it's funny. You still get all the information, or a lot, or at least the important information,
right?
And it's pretty amazing. Oh.
So, how long did it take you?
I'd say try it. Enjoy a weekend without it one of these days.
Might do that.
It's so hard to do. I get all fidgety and scratchy.
I know that's hard to do in your job, but
how's Jason Tatum feeling?
Isn't it on Twitter?
Not, I mean, it's a good question. Is
no,
it?
I'm kidding.
I mean, it was you know, the
somebody
late scratch dizziness.
Told you how he's feeling.
No, I mean, it was. I went by what you said, and it was a little bit concerning. A little dizziness during what was it? Shoot around before the game, or was it in warmups?
Yeah, no. Right when he got to the locker room, he just didn't feel right. He felt off. You know, obviously he had COVID about a month and a half ago, but he's tested negative in all those, so he doesn't have that. And it was just he just fell off. He just didn't feel right, went out and shot, didn't feel much better. And, you know, I think the combination of him not feeling good, being the second night of a back-to-back, the amount of work that he has put in all year physically, and everything added up just made sense to not push it. And that's a tough one, right? And he was wrestling with that just from the standpoint of like, we need every game. Like every game is super important to us because of the position we're in, but it's not more important than his health. And we're not going to put him out there if there's any chance of him not feeling good. And again, like, the dizziness thing is, you know, he felt a lot better after getting a good night's sleep. And that's scary when you're going to throw a guy out in a game and he just feels a little bit off. That's how, you know, that leads to other issues and injuries and those type of things. It was a no-brainer to have him sit that one.
All right, Coach, with you being a true masshole now, did you find a Dunkin' Donuts out there in Milwaukee? Are you swerving? Or was the bus swerving in and out? Where'd you come up with these Massachusetts terms?
Yeah, I obviously failed. Like a lot of people have made clear on that. I'm sure that Twitter has done a good job with that.
We've been ripping you all week.
I think we did an hour
week,
on it,
Coach.
Really?
All week.
Oh, on Massachusetts Sage.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You ever been to Kelly's Roast Beef on Revere Beach?
No.
You got to take your son there. Dad checked his. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I mean, best clams, roast beef, the beautiful beach.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
When everything opens back up, I'll go do that.
All right.
Maybe it's better to say I'm still a transitioning asshole, right? I'm still getting time, right? But you know, you got the point, right?
Well, of course.
Well, the point I think is it's a lot about family, isn't it? When your kids are growing up here and your family is here, whether or not you're a true quote unquote asshole or not, you feel a part of this community. You feel like this is home.
Yeah, and it's hard to say, hey, my wife and kids are assholes. I mean, that just doesn't feel right to say that, right?
Yeah,
your kids have a much greater, like, claim to it than you do.
Yeah, they're not going to get, like, the park the car.
Like,
accent.
They've got some formative years that are being spent here, you know?
No, I will say this. So, I said this summer when we talked about the contract extension stuff a little bit. I think when you're in this business and – listen, you got to, as you know, you got to deal with the arduous stuff and the tough stuff and the things that, you know, can wear you down pretty easily. But one of the things that I think is most important is that if your family's happy and you can find some sense of stability, it's unique. I mean, how many coaches do you know that have lived in 10 different places over a 20-year span, right?
Yeah.
I've lived in two in 21 years as a coach, and that's pretty amazing. And, you know, my kids moved when we were little. My son was seven, or when they were little, my son was seven, my daughter was four. So they really have. They've been here longer than they were in Indiana, and so this is home, and it's meant a lot to them. My wife loves it here. I really like it here. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's a huge, huge part of this whole experience. One of the things that has been really interesting about this year, because people have talked about the challenges of this year, is we hired a person in our player development group named Steve Chingang. He played at Vanderbilt. Great guy. And he asked me the other day, he goes, how hard is it to be in the NBA and coaching because you never see your family? And I realized he's never seen my family. Like, they haven't been allowed to go to a game. You know, my son used to come to the practice facility almost every day after school. You know, he hasn't been in the practice facility in a year. They used to travel with us, you know, all the families, not just mine, all the families used to travel with us on some of these trips over breaks. But, you know, this year has just been so funky that you don't have any of that. And I do think, like, that's one of the more rewarding parts about being a coach is, like, your family living with the team, like, becoming a part of the team and those type of things. So that's, that, you know, when you talk about what are you looking forward to when things go back to normal, I'm really looking forward to that because I think that makes my experience that much better. But I do think if you can find stability as a coach and probably in any profession, right, and then you're lucky to have that. And so, you know, whether or not, you know, they move on from me at a certain time, you know, in the near future, I know this, our family loves being here and it's been a super place to live.
So that means we're never going to lose you even if you're not the Celtics coach? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he said it's wicked pisser. Well,
you're here
wicked
for good? Maybe,
I would have to really up my Twitter game to get a job with you guys.
You can
So there are probably some other things I could figure out to do, but yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked too far into that future yet.
You do hoop camps.
I'm just trying to figure out how to guard Giannis.
Good luck with that. You got to do it twice.
Which is usually what leads you into figuring out a new future.
Hey, you got to figure. You got like 9 hours to figure that out.
Yeah, work.
You got to get cracking. We'll let you go.
We've only had like 100 chances or 50 chances or whatever it is in the last 8 years to figure this guy out.
Oh. Well, don't stop trying.
As the rest of the league. Yeah. We're going to keep going at it.
Brad, thanks for
the time.
Well.
Yep.
Take care.
Thanks,
good luck, Coach.
Brad Stevens on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
He has no intentions of leaving.
Oh,
until they kick him out the door.
No, we've got Brad here in Boston forever. It sounds like he's never going to leave.
Nice.
We're going to have to give him a list of things.
Well, next week we'll have to ask him because now that he's said it out loud, he will no doubt be thinking about what other skills he has for, you know, hopefully many, many years from now, what he could do as another job. Like if you had to go do something else tomorrow, Zoe, what would you do?
I had to do something else tomorrow.
Go get a job. What can you do?
Could sing? Could tap dance?
No.
I could sell.
Can you?
Yeah.
How'd that go when you were working
sales
for the Patriots?
Sale or sell?
Pretty good.
Yeah, did you sell a lot of seats?
Yeah. I probably banged out 20. At least
20 season tickets.
The Reds.
20 accounts?
20 of the Reds. Yeah.
20 accounts or 20 seats?
And that's after callbacks because I didn't know what I was doing. So they give me the recall list. So I'm like, are people that already told you no?
Oh.
They gave you the hard list.
They gave me the hard list. Yeah.
That's when, you know what? When Sid Poole got back into the Yellow Pages game, that's the list they gave him, the people who wanted out of their ads in the Yellow Pages. He went back in there, and not only did they re-up, full page color.
Full page.
Yeah. Full page color.
Coach, I could coach. I could get into coaching.
All right.
Very good.
Yeah. Private coaching? Sure.
617-779-0985, the telephone number.
I can't do what Jordan Palmer does.
Give me your kid.
Ooh, I see.
Give me your kid for the weekend.
I see a call on the board about someone who wants us to eat some crow on an old Celtics take of ours.
Okay.
I love that. I like that call. Ooh. And also, some news this morning on the Patriots. They've signed yet another player. It's one of their own. We'll get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talk sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second, a goal to go from the Atlanta 2. James White will set behind Brady. We'll move under center. Trips to the right. Bennett to tight end left. Second and goal to go from the 2. Toss sweep right for James White. Tucks it under the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line.
It's still
a touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
James White is again with the Patriots after reports this morning indicating he will be re-signing with the team. What do you make of that, Zoe?
They had some running back depth issues prior to it. It's like one of the most non-talked about things, I think, with the team. You say, okay, what kind of holes left? You say, okay, what quarterback? All right, other than Harris, who's your running back?
Oh, you don't have any.
You don't have any.
This is something they needed to address.
And I think his role could be more specific, especially if Sony continues to give you something because of that kick in the ass with Harris there. Like, Sony ran hard at the end of the year.
He did.
Like a different back. So if you could combine those two and keep those guys fresh like that, rotating them, and strictly just keep James in that third down role, you'll be able to maximize those reps because he is getting older. It wasn't a great year for him personally off the field. It was a horrific year for him.
Want to hear this tweet? You've got to hear this tweet from our buddy Mike Reese. Per colleague Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, running back James White is expected to re-sign with the Patriots per a source. The deal isn't done yet, per Jeremy, but the expectation is that it will cross the goal line just like James did at the end of Super Bowl 51 against the Falcons in OT.
Reese didn't write that.
He did.
What a cheese ball.
That is so
good. I'm going to rub his head when I see
him. I love that guy.
So I'm yesterday.
James White!
It's a good signing. I mean, I think it...
I want to know the money.
I think it's 2 for $6. 2 years, $6 million.
That's a very specific number, so you think you're hearing that. You're hearing that number?
I was hearing that number down south.
Oh.
Ballpark-wise.
Oh, so you maybe heard it from another team that was competing for his services. You heard it from general manager Brady? Is that what happened there?
they were interested.
GM Tom Brady.
He was working. Well, they signed Sue, so I think that's where the money went.
Okay.
So Dominican Sue is back for 1 year, one-year deal with Tampa Bay. So
well, if it's 2 years and $6 million, if it's in that range, that's a good deal. That's a deal the Patriots should want to make. If the money was good, and it's turned out it's not good, because we talked about this maybe 2 months ago, I said, if James White is going to get $4 or $5 million somewhere a year, it might be time to let him walk.
Yeah. You
know, and invest the money elsewhere on the roster.
Yeah.
Or invest in a younger running back.
But $3 million a year for that guy?
What are you kidding? Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
$3 million for that guy and the leadership that he gives you off the field? Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would want him in my running back.
I hope
room.
They're not done at that position, though.
I don't think they are.
Because I think there are more guys out there that they could use. So I'm very curious to follow that because I think they are building up this offense at every position other than the most important one.
We talk about...
Which I think is in preparation of not having anything other than Cam Newton there.
And we talk about the Alabama receivers. We talk about Mac Jones, Patrick Surtain, all the great players that they have. Nobody ever really talks about Najee Davis. Like, is that a type of guy that you might take a chance on in a second round if he's there? Alabama. Yeah. I mean, you already got a good one in Harris. So, it's same damn offense. And they already run a pro-style offense, and that's something you want to do. It's a lot of two tight end stuff, three wide, 13 personnel, 22 personnel.
I like
personnel.
Drafting running backs. You know why? I don't like paying them.
Yeah, you hang
that's
on
why I like the Patriots
you hang on
drafting
three or
running
four
back.
Years, and you move on.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
that's a good method, especially when you can get them in second and third round picks that turn out to be real players. Don't draft Sony Michel in the first round. Draft whoever the next guy is in the second round. They're running backs.
They've had a lot of good second, third round picks. Wasn't James a fourth rounder? I think James was a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Shane Vereen. Shane Vereen wasn't a first rounder.
No.
Third rounder. Like you find good value there at that position.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. We'll talk about that. The guy who wanted us to eat crow on our Celtics take hung up. It's too bad.
I like crow, though.
Like, you know what he wanted to get on us about?
Yeah, what?
Making fun of Terry Rozier when they moved on from Terry Rozier. I was going to just tell the caller, we've already come back around on that and said, yeah, it would have been smarter to keep Terry Rozier. Would you rather have Terry Rozier or Kemba Walker right now?
Terry Rozier.
Yeah. No, we already ate the crow. But I was going to let him give us the business.
Right.
Take your victory lap. I still think he's.
He's a putz, but
I would rather have him on the team. All the crap he was talking on his way out the door.
Yeah,
I still think he acted like a jackass.
Terry was a world champion.
We'll do it again. Come on, for old time's sake, give me a scary Terry. Pull the shirt up one more time. Here it is.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's worth it.
It is. That was worth it. Thank you very much, though. That was fun.
Sure.
Let's continue with your calls on this news of James White coming back. We didn't hit on this yesterday. I feel we missed on this one. We missed talking about it. The Mookie Betts billboard outside of Fenway. Zoe's already got a thought. I can tell. Look at his face. We'll save those thoughts. We'll get to him next.
Yep. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so what do you make of this Mookie Betts billboard outside of Fenway Park that was paid for paid for by Dodgers fans, and it was paid for by the guys in L.A. that root for the Dodgers?
I think it's hysterical from their perspective, but this is 2021. Whoever owns that billboard is taking money because they need to make a buck.
Yeah.
You know, they own the space. It's tough going for people making money nowadays, but damn it, if this was 2003, 2004, this effing thing would have never happened.
Meaning what?
There's no way. Like, say Yankees fan club wanted to take rent out a billboard right next to Fenway. 2003, 2004, at the height of, you know, Red Sox fandom around here, when you know, they were close to winning it, and you were knocking on the door, and you're going to beat the Yankees. Nobody would have taken money back in 03, 04, and allowed this to happen. We've gotten soft. It's a funny little thing.
It's a billboard owned by Clear Channel. They'll take whatever it is you want to pay for.
I get it. But, I mean, it's right there in your face.
Oh, yeah.
It's.
Here's what I would say. I have no problem with the billboard. I just wish you'd directed it at the Red Sox.
Yes.
Dear Boston, I didn't give away Mookie Betts. You didn't give away Mookie Betts.
Should have painted
Hardy
it green.
Hardy didn't give
away
Mookie Betts. Red Sox fans didn't send Mookie Betts packing. What are you thanking us for?
They have Dodger blue up there. They should have painted it monster green. Yeah.
L.A. sports fans, Dodger fans, you guys don't exactly have an edge, okay? This is something you got to learn. Direct it at the right people, would you?
Who used to take out the billboards on Route 1?
The Bills fans did this
Bills
year.
Did. That's
Bills
right.
Bills Mafia, that whole thing. Do this. Direct that to John Henry.
If you really want to make it scathing, dear John, who else do you want to throw in there?
John, Tom.
Bloom.
Haim. Anyone else?
B-O-H.
Right. Can you put all their names on there next time? Yeah. I'd enjoy that a little bit more. Dear Boston.
From Boston.
I'm not, are you mad at the Dodgers that they have Mookie Betts?
No.
Here's what I want to know. Are you trying to troll us? The fans? Yeah. The Red Sox fans?
Yeah.
We agree with you.
We're with you. What, are you kidding me? I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at the Dodgers about it.
That spit in your face.
I'm not upset with Dodger fans. There's no real rivalry there.
There's
a Boston-LA rivalry, but it's not in baseball. Can you just direct it at the team? Please? Next time? That's all. That's all I ask. Just put someone's name on there, dear Boston. What do I care? Yeah, I guess
times have changed. Right on top of the sales pizza.
I didn't send Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. No Red Sox fan sent him to the Dodgers. You want to send that to...
Every Red Sox fan wanted him.
Yeah, you want to send that to John Henry, Tom Werner, and don't be afraid to get a little mean. That's all.
Makes me want some pizza now, I'll tell you that.
It's really sort of soft. It's a soft billboard. You want to talk about going soft?
It's a soft blue.
Thank you for Mookie Betts. Okay.
Thank you for being...
You're welcome.
It's not witty. I think they thought, wouldn't this be the greatest idea? It's all right.
There was a billboard a few years ago in the one story that I read.
Yeah.
That showed, it wasn't a billboard. It was like a Louvre door or something that was painted outside of. And here's the weird part. It's painted outside of Boston, so it doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah.
It was a big sign that said, "Hey, LA, in case you forgot, this is what a World Series trophy looks like." And it's the Red Sox holding up the World Series trophy with the LA Dodgers logo. Now, that's good, but I don't think it was in LA. I think it was in Boston. Maybe not. Maybe it was in Los Angeles where they painted
it. I don't know.
That's a better dig.
I think it's maybe the older crew trying to take advantage of the Boston LA thing, which I really don't think exists like it used to. Remember Edelman tried to jump all over this when you were playing the LA, was it the Chargers at the time? Yeah. In a playoff game, and it's like beat LA. It's like the beat Boston, beat LA. It's the back and forth between LA and Boston, which really isn't there. Like, do you feel like it's an LA Boston thing? Like, it's a massive rivalry? No.
No.
No, not in any sport. Back in the 80s, different story.
Dear LA, 89. Thank you for Hunter Henry.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's buy that billboard.
Yeah.
What a waste of money. That can't be cheap, right?
No, that's not even
an LED one. This is a real, they got up there and pasted it on there. Old school. That's a real billboard
right
there.
Rolled out. That's like shrink wrap. That's rolled out.
Yeah, that's real. That's no joke. That's all. I just wish they were a little meaner than they were. Take on the team. dear John, Linda, Tom, throw the wife's name in. That's when he gets pissed. Now you're needling somebody there. You're pissing somebody off.
That's when he storms the castle.
Right?
And defend his woman.
We know that. Right. We know that that's what it is.
Right.
Dear massholes.
Could do that too. Do something that would piss the Red Sox off. Just a tiny bit. That's what we need. David in Housneck. David.
Hey, guys. How are you?
David in where?
Housneck.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I like it. We need a little bit of trolling. We need a little bit of something to drum up some sort of activity in baseball that isn't boring as hell, is my opinion. I miss the old days. You know, we miss the old days of Pedro and Don Zimmer and the real rivalry. This is kind of a fake thing. You know, we know LA isn't exactly like a...
Oh, there's nothing there.
Well, something. We need something. We need something to light something. Because right now, baseball is just boring and dead to me.
So is this billboard.
But that's not
the billboard.
It
was a fight.
The billboard's boring too.
How are you gonna stir up fan emotion with a team 3,000 miles away in a different league? That's the best you can do? That's it? No. Okay. All right. You're welcome. You're welcome for Mookie. We want him too.
Okay.
I mean, you feel the passion. Yeah. Feel the anger.
Freaking LA sports fans. They suck.
Driving their Porsches.
Yeah, their warm weather.
We're never going to see eye to eye on much. And it's like, even your billboards suck.
Would they know they had Mookie if they didn't win last year?
You don't even know how to be a prick, LA. You have no idea how to do it.
Eating your fish
tacos.
This
is sad. This is really sad when you think about it. You're trying to piss somebody off, and we don't even know who. What? What's the point of this?
It's a very LA type of day.
Yes. Thank you, Boston. Oh, it's going to be so funny.
But that's not it. It's like, thank you.
Palm trees.
405.
Wildfires.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom.
But that's how you piss him off. That should be the billboard we send back.
Be better if like Gavin Newsom did something attacking Baker.
You know,
here's a rivalry.
Hey, LA, thanks for keeping the global warming on your coast.
The billboard back from Balls be like, you effing suck. Yeah. Shut up before I give you a slap.
Hey, LA, our trees are still standing.
right? Yeah, we got potholes.
Yeah. Give him something like that. Something
I bet you wish you had potholes.
Piss people off with. I can't even do that right. That's all. I just thought it was worth a mention today. L.A., you idiots.
It's better. Pacific Coast Highway out there better or Route 1 in Revere?
Buy another billboard and actually come at us. It'd be more enjoyable than this.
Yeah.
There's some data coming out of the Mac Jones Pro Day yesterday that may have some people thinking differently about Mac Jones.
You've got, I agree with this. This may turn some heads and you may have to reevaluate the player.
Turn Zoe's head yesterday. We'll tell you all about it after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.